While you listen to Bet Cozzy and Limo, imagine you were laying poolside in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery's $3 million Somerton Park home. Yep, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Homelottery.com.au. Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.
Just another Mum Fail Monday.
Mum Fail Monday.
It was my youngest daughter, Frankie's 11th birthday yesterday.
She's grown up.
She Happy is, birthday. Little baby girl. And she wanted to have a party at home.
You hate parties.
Honestly, I'm not. It was the entire weekend. We had to shop for it. I had to clean the house, only to have it messed up again. But it's lovely that they want to celebrate it at home. Just a little bit of extra work required. Oh, all day Friday, going out like ordering sushi and pies and pies, party pies and sausage rolls.
You sound fine about it.
Anyway, I was pretty happy with how it went. It was 4:30 to 8:30 at our house. It was a pajama party, so they all turned up in their PJs and robes and their little like fluffy UGG boots.
Four hours is a long time.
4 hours was too long.
Too long. Yeah.
Beck's trying to launch the 30-minute party.
Yeah. James and I, without an hour to go, looking at. Watch is going, all right, time to wrap this up. The sugar's starting to kick in.
Doesn't time slow in that last hour of a kid's party? Where you're just trying to work out, where did all these stains come from? The stuff spread everywhere.
Oh, they played the chocolate game, so there was like chocolate all over the rug. Anyway, Frankie was having the best time, which is obviously the whole purpose of a successful kids' party, that the birthday girl was having fun. Time to sit down for the cake, which I had not baked.
Sure.
Again, outsourced. I forgot. Do you know at the end when you you say when the knife hits the bottom of the cake?
Make a wish.
Oh,
you have to.
Your wish doesn't come true if
You have to kiss the nearest boy.
What?
I've never heard
that
before.
Yeah, no, we always did that.
I didn't know about this.
I stuffed it up. I knew. I might have had a couple of champagnes. Still good supervising, though. I got it mixed up. I'm like, there's something that happens if you. And so I give it this one.
Come on, Mr.
Grayson.
Touch the bottom, you gotta tell us who you love.
Oh, that's weird. Coming from a mum. Coming from a mum at a kids' party, they're 11.
And there was a real tone of it. There was a real bullying tone about it.
Anyway, then two of her besties at the table go, we already know who she loves.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Then all the other girls go, who do you love? Tell us who you love. Oh. Frankie's face is getting redder and redder. She starts crying and runs from the table and shuts herself in the bathroom.
Oh, no. What have you done, Rebecca Morse?
Wow.
And I was like, I've messed that up. It's supposed to be kiss the nearest boy.
I thought it'd just make a wish.
No.
Why can't it just be make a wish? That's what we did out bush.
No. And
why does it have to be
all
fancy in Henley Beach and you have to kiss someone? It's not schoolies week.
Ours was, if you touch the bottom, then your wish doesn't come true. So
that's
you can't
right.
touch the bottom.
Yeah, that's right. Like we're saying, like, that's how it works. That's the rules.
Science says.
Otherwise, your wish would totally come true. Hey, Helen from Blakeview, finish that sentence.
Okay, so I've got three kids, all with birthdays in June, and I have 30 kids over for a disco party. So I thought it'd be funny to get some sparklers out, and I'd light them all on the stove at once. So I had 30 sparklers, couldn't see where I was going, ran them out to the kids. Sparkle went in my friend's handbag, caught my friend's handbag on fire. So it took a little bit of a tipsy dad with a jug of water to put that fire out.
Oh, Helen. Well,
your party was perfect until you set your friend's handbag on fire.
Happy birthday, Helen.
Katie in Elizabeth Downs, what happened?
My party was perfect until my mum set the kitchen on fire trying to cook prawn crackers.
Katie, what happened?
So it was my sister's party, and I've been told this story my entire life.
Yeah.
But she was trying to cook prawn crackers for everyone, and the oil just exploded and set the entire wall of the kitchen on fire, so they all had to evacuate and the fireys had to come and put it out.
Most importantly, how were the prawn crackers?
Oh, they must have been delicious, of course.
They were well cooked. Respect to her for trying to cook at a party. I mean, that's something I've never done.
And prawn crackers are one of those things that can you be bothered cooking, because they're like $2 for a massive bag. Yeah, you've got to heat up the oil and fluff around. Hey, Katie, thanks so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Let's stay out north. Manopara West. Josh is hanging to tell us a story about what, mate?
My uncle's 40th. Someone decided to get him a funny present.
which was G-strings for men, and he proceeded to put them on and run around in front of everybody.
Oh, wow.
No,
sure. And he had them on back the front.
Yep, that's definitely, I think we've all got a visual we didn't need at this time of the morning. Thank you, Josh.
All right, Kirsty in Salisbury, your party was perfect until what?
Until my boyfriend kissed me and then dumped me in front of everybody at my sweet 16.
Oh, really?
No, he didn't.
He did. He did.
Was it literally like a 1-2? Was it kiss, you're dumped?
It was a kiss as I cut the cake, and then about 20 minutes later, he dumped me in front of everyone.
Was there a reason, Kirsty? Was there anything you did wrong?
He spoke to my mother in that 20 minutes, and she told him that I was probably bad for him.
Oh, wow.
But it's okay. It's okay. 30 years later, he married me.
Oh, you got back together.
We did.
What age did you get back together?
We got back together at 42 and we got married 3 years
ago. That's beautiful. Because I'd be damned if you're having him at your 21st. Yeah.
And Kirsty, is your mum on board now?
Oh, very much so. Okay, very much so.
Oh, I love that story.
Could be made into a movie.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
We're all pretty predictable in what we wear to work every day.
Yes.
Cozzy in his sort of R.M. Williams polo, jeans, Rossi boots with a bit of farm dirt on them, a bit of poo if we're lucky.
Yeah, if you're spoiled. Yes. What about when a chunk of that comes off in the studio? And you're like, what is that? Cards!
I'm pretty much jeans and a jacket. Limo's always jeans and trainers. And this morning he's walked in slacks.
Yeah, they're black slacks.
Slacks.
They're slacks, they're golf pants. I'm going to play golf.
Wow.
Right.
And so there's some real comfortable shoes.
And they're my golf shoes. What are you talking about?
So you're like dressed up for golf this morning.
Actually proper golf shoes with the proper...
Yes, they've got the proper, not the spikes,
oh my
but
gosh.
Sort of grippy
You are
on
one
them.
Foot into retirement, See? Mate, with those shoes.
Oh, wow. They're like old man shoes.
Oh, they're not that's old like man to, shoes. They're golf shoes.
That's like to stop you slipping up in the mall.
Yeah. Or that'll stop me slipping up on the course.
How often do you get out for a game of golf? Because, golf to me is like watching the ABC. I really want to do it. I think I'll like it, but I'm going to wait till I'm old. How often do you play?
I used to play going back a few years. Before Laddie was born, I'd play every week.
Oh.
I'd play once a week.
Yeah.
Before Lad was born, and then my golf just fell in a heap after he was born. Kids.
Mm. Also, you've been practicing your golf swing morning.
I've been practicing my swing. And I clearly haven't played for a while because I went to put these pants on this morning and went, oh boy, someone's put a couple of kgs on.
Yeah.
They're a little tight around the waist.
The last thing you want to be doing when you're playing golf is be a little bit unfit. And you're having 12 schooners. Okay.
There's a lot of elite athletes out there.
question. Yes. I asked you before, and I only asked you again because I thought the answer was funny.
Yes.
I said to you, would you stretch before starting golf? And you said,
no.
You said, yes.
No. You don't stretch like you imagined normal stretching, but with a club in your hand, you do a few swing throughs.
Right.
You know.
What's that in the Uber on the way down?
in the Uber. Do you need a caddy?
Do I need a caddy? No, I think we've got carts today. The weather looks great. We're heading out to Grange. Do you think? I'm looking at the rain.
Yeah.
I don't know at what point you cancel golf if it's a bit wet. But I think it's clear. It's clearing up, though. I looked at the radar.
I was suggesting I could be your caddy, by the way.
Oh, is that where you are? Oh, yeah. We are chock-a-block today, so.
Yeah. Bec's really peeved because she wasn't invited to the golf day.
We would love to have you. We need someone to drive the golf cart, but I've seen you park your car out here. So.
I hope you get rained out.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Cozzy loves travelling around this fine state in your South Aussie with Cozzy vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And you love having a chat. You're always meeting people and having stories to tell about them.
I've been on the radio and TV now for 23 years here in South Australia. And I tell you this, it's the same as when I first started. I would rather talk to a South Australian over interviewing a celebrity or a music act or anything like that. I have far more interest in the people of the South Australia than the big names, which some people love interviewing the big names.
Cancel that Craig David exclusive.
Well, I'd rather talk to Craig from Craigmore.
I guess Beck and I will do the Elle Macpherson exclusive.
Hey,
why you said you'd rather...
I tell you who I bumped into, this kid. I've been wanting to play this for some time. I was at the Caravan and Camping show and this kid came up to me and said... hey, mate, I watch your show. Can I have a photo? No worries, mate. I had a chat to this kid. His manners.
I love that your voice in this chat was exactly the same as the kid's voice.
It's an amazing voice for a child, what I'm about to play. Yeah. He was that well-mannered and he was that kind and caring. I actually ended up saying to his parents, look, if you ever want to take him up to our block up in the hills, you can go up and see the animals and go collect some firewood and stuff
like
that.
Do some work for me for free.
And there's some cape weed there he can make a start on. There's a shovel in the shed. Leave him there and pick him up in about 12 hours. Anyway, this is this young fella. Have a listen to young Lockie. Right, I'm at the Caravan and Camping Show. I got young Lockie here. How old are you, Cobber?
11, mate.
All right. Now, you're just telling me that you watch South Aussie with Cozzy.
Sure do.
What do you love about it?
Oh, just everywhere you go.
And obviously the host is so good looking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose you could say that.
And what are you going to do when you get older, mate?
I want to have a cattle farm.
Ooh, I've got cattle. I love them. What's your favourite cow? You wouldn't have dairy cows, would you?
No.
Want beef cows?
Yeah, you want beef cows.
Do you like the big rough and tough Brahmins?
Yeah.
Now, what is it you love about cattle farming?
Just you get to be out there by yourself, just you. Yeah.
No wife annoying you?
No wife annoying you, no.
You're going to get married when you get older?
I hope so.
Okay, don't rush into it. That's some advice from a married man.
Okay.
Yeah, ask your daddy, he'll tell you the same thing, I bet.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to about getting married, though? What's it going to be cool about being married?
Being with someone to share my thoughts and emotions with.
Yeah, that's really cool. And share the cows as well.
Yeah.
Mate, you're a very lovely young man and your manners are exceptional.
Thank you.
Look after yourself, buddy. Good luck with those cows.
I will, you too.
Someone once told me a kid with good manners will be invited absolutely everywhere. That kid was beautiful.
Hey, what a great kid. You know, the bit I really love, though, is at the can we play it again right at the start where you ask him how old he is?
Right, I'm at the Caravan and Camping Show. I got young Lockie here. How old are you, Cobber?
11, mate.
Yeah, 11, mate.
I felt like he was leaning on the sheep yard.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Dex Fitz.
Now, Limo, I know you hate spiders. How do you stand with snakes?
Yeah, no good.
Creepy
no good.
Crawlies, no.
No, creepy crawlies and snakes, no.
Just
no
not good. A brave person.
Correct. Well, if this was an exchange on, if we're texting each other, I'd write the 100 back. 100.
With a spider and a shock face?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're going to hate this story, yeah. Then a two-year-old in the UK was found playing in the back garden in Turkey, rather, with a snake. The snake bit her, so she put it in her mouth and bit it back.
That's the way.
And killed the snake with her teeth.
She bit it to death.
She bit it to death.
No one's messing with that kid at kindergarten.
Imagine breastfeeding that kid.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we might still have the venom in its mouth.
The snake killer. Oh, my God. That is one wild child right there.
Think of that meme of that child standing in front where the house is just burning down behind her. She's got a snake in her mouth. It's like it's just blood coming down the side.
I bet you that kid's homeschooled. You just got that feeling that if it's not yet, it's going to be homeschooled.
It's going to be homeschooled.
Shout out to our homeschooled.
Hey, why won't she have any dinner tonight? Oh, she ate a snake in the backyard earlier. Yeah.
But I mean, when you think about it, we do push our kids down this path. Alan's snake lollies, for example. They're just doing what they think's right.
Finally, when it says snake's alive, it actually is alive.
Hey, remember how much fun it was when you were a kid and you had a python? You know those things that are about like a foot long?
The blue bit was the best.
The red bit.
No, I like the blue.
They used to have those at service stations. They used to have a big container of them.
Yeah.
It was one of those impulse buys that I bought every single time.
Absolutely.
Pre-COVID, you could just dip your hand in there where everybody else had pulled a snake out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, you'd pull it out, six would be stuck together. Yeah, you'd have to untangle them with your hands.
Because there'd be some shit servo from regional South Australia that hasn't been used for ages. And it's not like you get an ice cream from those joints. I got an ice cream from down near Normanville the other day. And because it's winter, like, you know, you open it up and it's got that much frost and crap on it. You still eat it, but it's like, this is not even probably fit for human consumption.
Of course you do, Dad. I find Tinder absolutely fascinating as a group of married people.
Oh, yeah, right.
My friends who are on Tinder, like I helped a friend set hers up, and choosing the pictures is the most important part.
Sure,
I talked her down. She was going to post a picture holding a friend's baby, and I'm like,
Don't do that because
think it's your baby and you don't want that baggage. Well, unless it is your baby.
What picture to go with, do you reckon?
Well, here you go. No. Science has confirmed that blokes with a dog, but a small dog, have the most luck, because a too big a dog is intimidating,
yeah,
and a small dog is cute.
If you have like a rock wheeler on our station, it looks a bit like, whoa,
what,
go
was
easy.
The first breed you said?
Oh, rock wheeler. But it's rot, isn't it? I know. Don't blame me.
No. Blame Gadina Memorial High School.
I didn't educate myself.
No, you certainly didn't. rot wheeler.
But I believe the dog can also be too small. I think a chihuahua on your Tinder profile.
True.
Yeah. You look a bit sort of.
No, I think a tiny dog isn't. I don't know. I think that one of those other dogs makes you look sort of manly. Is that?
Nah.
Right, what about me with my Staffy bunny?
Yeah, that could be too intimidating because Staffies can be give off the wrong vibe.
You're talking about my little girl. <It's>... Oh, no. She's not listening.
Well, I wouldn't be swiping on that.
I just can't believe you're married.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
We have some breaking news. Ravi the red panda has made a daring escape from Adelaide Zoo and was recaptured in Botanic Park yesterday. Our reporter Andrew Costello was on the scene.
Yep.
Andrew, why were you on the scene?
Yeah. A lot of people at work this morning are saying to me, how on earth did you end up on the scene when they shot the panda out of the tree?
Of all the people in South Australia, of all the places you could be, the permutation, you're more likely to win lotto, but somehow, you were right there next to the Harry Butler vet with the dart gun.
You guys are going to love this. So there I was. I was having lunch at Tea Chow in Chinatown, and it was my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, darling. Sorry I didn't get you anything. It was always next year. And we were having lunch there, and my mum was there, the mother-in-law was there, our two girls were there, and my wife. We were just finishing up lunch, and I said to the girls, to save you walking, I'll go and get the car. Nice thing to do, I hear you say. Yeah, sure. I got back and I was waiting for them in the car, and then I thought I'd just go on Facebook. On the Channel 7 News Adelaide page, I saw Panda Bear escaped. So I see them walking up towards the car. So I get out of the car and I go, Matilda! She's like my Bindi Erin of my daughters. I'm like, she's like, what? I go, there's a panda that's escaped the zoo! Get on a scooter! She's like, what? Panda! I go, yes! So I give Sam the car keys. I go, you drive, though, you drive. We're going to find this panda.
Oh, my God.
So Tilly and I jump on a scooter, and my wife's like, you can't be serious, Cozzy. And by this point, I'm already doing up my helmet. I go, you bet we're serious. So we went flat out, 14 k's an hour, all the way to Plane Tree Drive, where it was last sighted, and that's where we saw them set up trying to shoot the panda out of the tree.
When you arrived there,
were
there other crazy panda watchers, or was it just the two of you?
7, 9 and 10, the newsers were all there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, God, I can get heaps closer than they are. So then I've parked my scooter under the tree and I've taken my helmet off, and then I got moved on. So we're going to have to ask you to move to the other side of the road. I'm like, mate, it's a red panda. What is it, armed? Like, what's it going to do, shoot me?
Hang on, who moved you on?
Oh, the zoo people.
Oh, the zoo people.
Who did a great job, and I respect that they needed some space. But at the time, it looked like a good spot to park the scooter.
I could see you getting a tranquilizer dart in the bark.
Hey, wouldn't you love it if this morning we were like, hey, where's Cos this morning? Oh, he's in an enclosure at the zoo.
Yeah. I had to take him to Monado.
Pretty awkward when I pulled up, and one of the kids yelled out, Mummy, not just a red panda escape. Look, there's a hippo too.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Panda Bear escapes Adelaide Zoo Friday night, is captured yesterday afternoon. Stay with me, folks, because I, Andrew Cozzy Costello, with my daughter Matilda, was there on the scene when it was tranquilised, shot down out of the tree and caught like it was some sort of rescue with firemen and stuff, landed on a blanket, landed safely, and we were there to film it and put it straight on Facebook.
And we should let people know you weren't there coincidentally on the scene, you chased it.
Oh yeah, I saw on the Channel 7 News Facebook page that the panda had been sighted, the escapee. Mm-hmm. So me and my daughter jumped on two purple scooters and raced to the Botanical Gardens to try to find it, and we did. And the zoo, when we got there, we got a little too close. The zoo guys moved us on.
Yeah.
Back, please. Back, please. I'm like, what? Has a panda got a gun? Is he armed?
Oh, and to think poor Wong Wong's been trying to escape that place for years. And poor Ravi's been there 2 minutes to get out.
I think Ravi might be escaping because Wong Wong and Foonie get all the attention.
This panda was brought in, the red panda, was brought in from the Australia Zoo to mate with the panda we have here in South Australia. interesting. And then he does a runner. Like, how bad she? Like, yeah. What happened there? But how, also, how tough do we find it in South Australia to breed pandas? The match, like, they just don't want to do it here, do they?
The matchmaking is, this it. Is not the right environment for pandas.
What is it? What is it with South Australia?
There's something about it. Because you were there so early, you actually filmed the early stages of the rescue effort when they were looking for the panda, when they initially didn't know who it was. He's the lead rescue operator. Let's go.
What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up in 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Doug.
It's Ravi. Ravi is the fugitive's name. But we probably should dig a little deeper into this.
Well, to find out exactly what happened, we've got director of the Adelaide Zoo on the line, Dr. Phil Ainslie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, mate, what happened?
Well, unfortunately, early last week, we had a new male red panda arrive from Australia Zoo in Queensland. So he'd been settling into his new enclosure at the zoo. And on Friday morning, unfortunately, we discovered that he'd managed to get out. So we'd been on the look for a red panda. We thought up until that stage that he was inside the zoo, and we'd been working round the clock just trying to see if we could locate him. But yesterday morning, one of our keepers, as part of that process, was doing a check around the boundary and then discovered that he was bunkered down in a big fig tree in Botanic Park, just outside our fence.
Oh, and did he pick a lock, dig a tunnel, put Rita Hayworth over the hole? Did he, Doug, how did it work? Rita.
That's a really good question. So one of the things that we're just working through at the moment is reviewing all of our CCTV footage around the zoo, just trying to get a good understanding of how he managed to get, firstly, out of his exhibit, and then how he managed to get outside of our main containment fence as well. So that's one of the things that we'll be doing really early on today and working through.
Well, seeing the bloke with the big tranquilizer gun, it looks a bit scary. Is Ravi okay?
Yeah.
Like,
how long has Kenny Rogers worked for the zoo, mate?
No.
So there, that was Ian, who's our senior vet, and he did an amazing job. So firstly, really hard thing to be using a blowpipe up into a tree. So you've got to try and navigate all the branches and leaves, and then find a very small piece of a red panda to get a dart into. So he did an amazing job. I mean, the whole team yesterday was fantastic. And, Cozzy, I think you had a front row seat on a scooter, from what I recall. I think you popped up.
You're right, mate. I was there just catching the darts as they missed the panda. I was thinking at one point, as he was shooting darts up into the tree trying to hit the panda, what if one came down and landed in my backside?
Now, is it the case, Dr. Phil, that Ravi perhaps just misses the Irwins? Are you gonna rush an Irwin down for a bit of FaceTime?
No, look, what we do know is that red pandas, they're incredibly agile animals. So they're known to be pretty good escapologists, but this guy probably, there's a couple of things. One, he was settling into his new digs, but definitely on the early Friday morning, we know we had some pretty wild weather. So I think the combination of that just made him test his new space a little bit more than what we're hoping for. So really confident that once he settles back in, because we brought him down to pair up with our female red panda Mishri. So we're hoping that once the two of them get to meet, he'll be nice and settled. So.
You sure it's not that she's not partly to blame, mate? Maybe she's hard to live with.
Maybe he was interested just to try and get over the other side of the fence to see who was there. But we've had red pandas at Adelaide Zoo for many years, for decades now, and they've been historically one of our most successful programs. So really hopeful that the two of our new red pandas, once they get together, that they'll find the right thing, and hopefully in the not too distant future we might have little red panda cubs. But definitely, yeah, we'll make some changes to his exhibit once we do all the review of all the CCTV footage, anything we can find. We're really hopeful that we can work out exactly how he managed to venture out, because that's, as you say, that's not something we want to be happening again.
It is one of the best zoos in the world, and we're lucky enough to have it in the CBD of Adelaide. The Adelaide Zoo is an amazing place. Get along and check it out. Dr. Phil Ainslie, thanks so much for your time.
Really appreciate the time.
Get that Adelaide feeling
with Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Cozzy and Limo, both your beautiful wives are blonde.
Yes.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not naturally
not
blonde.
Naturally, no.
So the process of becoming blonde or maintaining blonde is very high maintenance and very time consuming. Yes.
It is indeed. In fact, I've only ever seen girls natural hair colour when hairdressing salons have been closed during a lockdown.
Yeah, right.
And so. I sadly am at the age where a couple of little sneaky greys are coming through.
Now, you were telling me this the other day that you're getting grey hairs, and that actually surprised me because I've never looked at you.
Just a few around the temple. The good thing about having some blonde highlights is the silver kind of blends in with the blonde, but it's not a fun time.
You would hate having grey hair.
Yeah, I think my mum's in her 70s and she still colours her hair.
Okay.
I think I'll colour my hair into the grave.
Just own it. Oh. Come on.
Anyway. you know how a big deal it is to go to the hairdressers, how it's an event, it's an occasion, and we enjoy that process.
You're gone for hours. It's crazy.
It's a half-day event. Mm. The last time Kel went, it took 5 hours.
As I pointed out,
I know someone who had triple bypass surgery, it took 4 hours.
So last week, James rings me on the way home from work, and he said, "How's your day been?" I said, "Oh, busy day.
Yeah, busy day.
I mean, he picked the kids up from school. I said, "Oh, had my hair done today." And he goes, "What else?" And I said, "Well, that's it. That's the day
that's
gone.
Your day.
That's a line through the diary."
Yes.
And I went a little bit blonder. I said to the hairdresser, "Spring's coming. Let's freshen it up.
Yep.
Let's lighten it up.
What fun? Yes.
Yeah."
Sorry, that is fun for me.
Do you worry about like dyeing your hair lots because it's bad? Does this make your hair brittle?
Yeah, it does.
Does it break it?
I've tortured my hair for so many years. I've just given up on it.
Oh, Kel's given her hair a flogging as well.
Yeah. So I was happy with the result. I shared the process on Instagram.
Oh, wow. I did it
before, during, and after.
Yes.
I even shared a picture with the foils looking like a clown.
Nice.
And I thought I was really happy with it. It was like fresh. Because you see my hair in the morning. It's a bit messy. But he got home from work and I was like in the kitchen, you know, where I should be when he gets home from a long day at work.
Oh,
that's heavily sarcastic. I probably wasn't. I was probably on my phone.
Yeah. Ordering Uber Eats. Claiming you've got dinner sorted.
And then I'm like, hi. And he...
You would not have been that cheery.
No, I wasn't.
You would not have been that cheery.
I'm like, what took you so long?
Yeah.
What time did you leave? Busy day. And he looked at me. You know, sometimes you probably don't look at your wife. You don't see your wife.
Mm. Yeah.
But he looked at me. No. And then it took him a good half an hour. And I went, did you notice my hair?
Oh, yeah.
And he had no idea that I'd completely changed my hair colour.
Yeah.
Why do you men do
that? The other one Sam does to me is she says, she'll say, did you notice my hair? And I go, uh-oh, it's a trick question. I go, oh, no, I didn't. She goes, that's good. That's good. That's good. I didn't want it to be noticed. You went to the hairdresser and your instructions were you want nobody to notice you've had a haircut
it's like
or a
no
colour.
makeup. You have an hour in makeup, but you don't want to make it look like you've got any makeup on.
It's just stupid.
So you'll go to any lengths to make it look like you're not going to any lengths.
Yes. Just want to have a natural face.
You want to see, it is an absolute minefield for us. Kel's changed hair colour before and I haven't noticed.
Why not?
Well, get the hairs needs to be in a more obvious place. Yeah. I'm not on your head.
On her face.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Ravi the red panda escaped from the Adelaide Zoo and was found in a tree in Botanic Park, which is not where red pandas should be. So we're talking this morning on 131060. That animal shouldn't be there. And I was thinking, remember, there was a koala on a Christmas tree.
It was your friend, wasn't it?
Yeah, my old Blackwood High School mate.
What happened again?
Well, she had the door open and it was Christmas time and the koala saw the tree and maybe some sparkly lights and climbed up the tree.
Did it open any presents?
I don't believe so, because koalas can't do that.
Yeah, I did see it.
Yeah, because it was a serious question.
It opened up a present under the tree which had its name on it, and it was so disappointed it was Caramello Bears. Because you just imagine koalas every Christmas would get Caramello Bears again.
Here we go. Let's go to Ali in Aberfoyle Park. Ali, which animal shouldn't have been there?
So I live in the foothills. There's quite a bit of wildlife around here. Mm. Looking at the kitchen window one morning, and I thought, oh, is that a cat on the roof? No, it wasn't. It was a fox walking around on the neighbour's roof.
On the roof?
On the roof.
A fox?
Fox on a hot tin roof.
What did you
say? What did you say?
Tennessee Williams
for fox's sake. Ali from Goulet, yourself?
Yeah, morning. Probably 11 years ago, we decided to put a pool in. Mm-hmm. And we had the hole dug and we were getting a liner waiting for them to put it in.
Yep. Yep.
Wake up the next morning and we heard our dog barking and we go out there and there's a horse in the hole.
Oh, yeah!
What?
Horse?
Wow.
How?
I mean, I didn't realise horses like swimming pools. Where did the horse come from and how did it end up in the pool?
Oh, well, we're on property and one of our neighbour's horses just decided to go for a walk through the fence and decided to have a look and fell in the hole.
That's just not what you expect to see in the morning, is it,
no,
Lee?
No, not at all.
How do you get a horse out of a pool?
Well, we had to, luckily, because there was no liner, we had to get an excavator back in to dig a little ramp to walk them up. So.
Wow.
Wow, it's going to be hard to top that. Thank you, Lee. Nadia in Parafield Gardens. What animal shouldn't have been there?
Hi. I went to Brisbane during school holidays one year to visit my auntie, and she had a pool. And we were all ready to just about jump in to the pool, and we noticed there was a crocodile in the bottom of the pool.
Oh, there was really? A croc in the pool in Brisbane?
Yep.
Like a little freshwater crocodile, was it?
We thought one of the laylows had deflated and gone to the bottom, so we almost jumped in. And then it moved, and we went, wait a second, and it was a crocodile.
Well, that's brilliant. What happens next after that, Nadia? Does someone come and catch the crocodile?
No, you start selling tickets.
Sure.
I locked myself in the bedroom, so I have no idea what happened.
Note to self, get Sam a crocodile for a swimming pool.
All right, thank you, that's Nadia. Incredible. Amazing.
Everyone, stop what they're doing. Okay. This is potentially going to be something that's very, very funny right now.
It is a fantastic name. Let's go to Orla in Gawler.
Now, hang on, let's just check. Is this really Orla from Gawler?
It is, yes. Good morning, guys. Oh. How are you?
Your name is Orla from Gawler.
It is. Well, the from Gawler part isn't my name, but Orla is.
Were you born in Gawler and your parents thought we'll call you Orla, or were you Orla and thought I better move to Gawler?
No, I thought I better move to Gawler. I was born in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
Wow. Yeah, right. Orla from Gawler.
Had to move out of there eventually.
Well, that's about all we got time for, Orla. No, tell us your story, mate.
Thanks, guys. Orla,
when did you see an animal where it shouldn't have been?
I was probably about 10, 11-ish, so a while ago now. But I saw an echidna in my house.
What? Oh.
Well, how did the echidna get in there?
Okay, well, I grew up on Kangaroo Island, and, you know, being the lovely, lovely country that it is, we had the doors open and whatnot, and it just decided to mosey on in.
There you go. And did you just shoo it out, or did you have to call someone to get it?
No, we gently just kind of, put it back outside. No, yeah, just a gentle kick,
They're so cute.
They are so cute.
They roll up in a little ball.
Also, I always think when I see an echidna, that'd be bloody handy to have all those spines over your body. Imagine you're in a meeting and you don't like what's happening. Curl up.
You kind of like my personality.
You've got invisible spines. Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.